FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's May 2nd, 2018. Well, economy seems to be on the upswing. Can the market stay up? Well, we'll find out soon enough about that. But in the meantime, there's lots of other things going on, looking at real estate trends, looking at all sorts of things. So that's why we got Jason Hartman on now. You'll find Jason over at hartmanmedia.com or his main site, and that's the money site. It's jasonhartman.com. Jason, welcome back. It's been so long.
Hey, thanks, Kerry. I frequently say it's an amazing time to be alive, and I'll tell you, it's an amazing time in the economy, isn't it?
Oh, amazing. You always say, somebody I know always says, it's an amazing time to be alive. And yeah, I've never felt more strongly now than I feel that way now than ever before.
Well, no question about it. I mean, I'd say it's an amazing time to be alive as far as technology, as far as the economy. I mean, things are just on a major boom. I just attended an economic forum last week with six economists, and they were very bullish. Only a couple of clouds on the horizon, not much. You know, there's always a couple of wild cards out there, but things are booming. You know, the Labor Department says that the next unemployment report may literally be the best report in five decades, where we have not seen unemployment this low. And I get, you know, you and I have both interviewed John Williams of shadowstats.com.
Oh, sure.
I get that the stats are manipulated. All your listeners are sophisticated enough to know that for sure, too. But look, you know, it's a benchmark. Okay. We're comparing apples to apples, right? And even if it is manipulated, understated like it is, we all know this, it's still unbelievable. I mean, the economy is just roaring. And there's not a lot of concern. I mean, there's a little bit of concern, but I don't think there's a ton of concern that anybody should have about a bubble bursting. I mean, there are, you know, depends what sector we're talking about, of course, but good linear real estate markets like the ones we like to invest in, those are pretty darn stable looking. The lending has been very conservative over the past several years since the Great Recession, Kerry. In fact, The banks have probably overcorrected. I've said that before. Again, there are some inklings of some sort of, they just came out with a new 3% down, no income verification loan through Freddie Mac.
Sounds good to me.
You know, again, the credit scores are very high. This will lead to some foreclosures. There's no question about it, you know. But is it the overall marketplace acting this way? No, the overall marketplace is still, it's been really conservative. So They're not allowing people to get too far ahead of themselves.
Yeah, well, look, you don't have liar loans, you don't have ninja loans, you don't have stated income wage earner loans. Those were really the bad ones. Oh, I'm a janitor at the local high school, part-time janitor, but I make $250 a year.
He needs a $900,000 house, of course.
Of course, don't we all? No, it's so true. You know, I'm not surprised that it took place. I'm surprised it took place as quickly as it did, but look, just imagine, you know, it reminds me of that old story, you know, you hit your head against the wall and it feels so good when you stop. Well, having the boot off the throat of the economy makes all the difference. Everything Obama did was geared at driving the economy lower, creating more dependent individuals. And I'm not just saying this as a Trump lover. This is as an economist, as somebody who observes this. His goal was to make the United States into Venezuela. And thank goodness he only had two terms to do it.
Yeah, well, he set us back a long way. Obama was pretty much a disaster. I mean, you know, I will give him credit for one good thing, I think, that expanded the economy pretty dramatically, and that was the Jobs Act with, you know, all of the crowdfunding and just easing up on this old 1933 securities legislation that was just totally outdated. So, you know, there's been a lot of creativity has been inspired by that, and I think that was around 2012.
Correct.
You know, it's not like he can take credit for it directly, but he was part of it. And so I think that was, you know, good. But overall, yeah, Comrade Obama was pretty much a disaster. Yeah. I think we can mostly agree on that, unless you're a Marxist and you're listening. Yeah. And if you're a Marxist, you're probably not listening to Carrie's show. So
we welcome Marxists, because we're all about red pilling you. Hey, he had three major accomplishments before that, besides the Job Act.
He was also he also opened up Cuba a little bit.
I'm getting
Trump's
to going that.
The wrong direction on Cuba.
Let me tell you the three major accomplishments, other than the Job Act of Obama. Number one was opening up Cuba. Number two was allowing you to listen to your electronics from the beginning of the flight to the end, you know, from takeoff to landing.
And that was Obama, huh?
Yeah, that was Obama. Good. And number three was TSA pre-global entry, which was probably underway before. Those are the three greatest accomplishments and the Jobs Act, right?
Well, shouldn't even need a TSA pre because we shouldn't have to endure the security nightmare that we have to endure because we have such bad immigration policy. So, you know, that's it's real cause and effect question there. But yeah, I agree. You know, definitely makes it a lot easier. But of course, that's just been one more way to get everybody's fingerprints and invade their privacy more. Yeah, well, who knows how it'll ever be used in the long term? We just don't know.
Well, but, they had mine
but yeah,
already.
The economy is definitely booming. There is no question about that. And I think it's going to be pretty good for quite a while. Interest rates have been on the upswing, as we all know. They're, you know, trying to make sure it doesn't get out of hand. But I don't know, you know, as much as I hate a managed economy and I hate the Federal Reserve and the banking cartel, they seem to be doing a fairly good job of managing the economy, these central planners that I don't like. But anyway, you know,
well, you know what it is. They're being less of an obstacle than they were, not just over Obama, but Comrade Bush, too. He was the worst. He created Sarbanes-Oxley, which is a horrible law, which, if you're not familiar, requires the CEOs of publicly traded companies to sign every filing under the penalty of being drawn and quartered if there's anything wrong with it, even if they don't know about it. You know, this is a history. He's trying to reverse 75 years worth of history, going back to FDR. I guess that's 85 years of history. He's trying to reverse the interventionist state. And, you know, he's having successes, he's having setbacks, but he isn't letting up, Jason. That's really the thing. Hey, one thing I wanted to point out, and this is something that you and I discussed a while ago, I don't know if you caught the article, but 800,000 of you are fleeing high tax, generally blue states. I mean, Jason, $12 billion, they're going to pay more in California. And the amazing thing is 43,000 people are going to pay roughly $9 billion more in federal taxes, over $200,000 per person. I mean,
it's pretty much a disaster. I mean, these left-wing states with their big government intrusion are just committing suicide. They're destroying themselves. It is mind-boggling to me, Carrie. You know, I had on my show, I had Meredith Whitney, who wrote a great book called State of the States. And she was on the show on my podcast a few years back. And, you know, it's just so telling. I mean, I could not believe it. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I used to love being, you know, living in Southern California. I used to love going up to San Francisco on the weekends and having fun and, you know, going to all the great restaurants and bars there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, San Francisco is a shithole. I mean, I just go, you know, listen, I wouldn't say that it's compared to what,
show,
right, is
Jason.
The question. But given the fact that it's so expensive, I mean, compared to the cost of living there, like, why would anyone want to live in San Francisco? There's homeless people everywhere. They are hostile. They are urinating all over the streets everywhere. The place
shooting
smells.
Up. Shooting
it
up.
Used to, it's disgusting. It used to be such a nice city. I mean, this quaint, nice city by the bay, you know, that Journey talked about in their old music.
Where you left your heart. A place where you left your heart, right?
It's unbelievable. San Francisco, I don't know why anybody would want to live there.
I blows can't my imagine. Mind. I can't imagine.
I just couldn't believe it.
Hey, and they're paying more and more taxes for less and less services.
Yeah.
Look, Rudy Giuliani showed New York City, showed the world, the country, how to limit crime, dramatically reduce it, how to increase the standard of living, the quality of life in the biggest city in the United States, and how you deal with these people. He set up a program to deal with this kind of scum called Life in Jail a Day at a Time. And it's like, you arrest the guy, he spends a night in jail or two, comes out, goes back, arrest him again. And you keep arresting him. And finally, they decide whether or not they want to be permanent residents of the lockup or not. It worked like a charm. It was brilliant. Yeah. They never, of course, publicized that. But that was the crux of the Bratton anti-crime policy. Life in prison a day at a time. And that's how you get rid of the quality of life offenses like public urination. They're shooting up heroin in the subways in BART in San Francisco. And it's strictly a question. There's no political will or desire to do anything about it.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, where I used to live in the Socialist Republic of Santa Monica when I was a kid, that used to be a nice area too. And now it's pretty much what we described in San Francisco going on down there. It's really a sad, sad story. But I'll tell you, on the good side, you know, love or hate Trump as you wish, but North Korea, I mean, he has accomplished something, you know, making both Koreas and America great again.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, he has accomplished something no other president could ever accomplish.
They couldn't
do
it.
This is the doctrine of peace through strength. Now, granted, maybe there's some ulterior motivation. Maybe Kim Jong-un is just snowing the world here. I don't know. It looks pretty good so far, doesn't it?
I don't believe it. Hey, just today, Jason, just before we got on the line, you know what happened? North Korea released all of the American captives. I think they had five of them, some of them for years, released them. All right. That's
amazing.
Trump, you know, has been talking about that since he was running for president.
Can you imagine that any of this happening under Obama?
No, he would have given them more hostages. Yeah, so you don't have enough. Amazing. You need more. Take these. So what of it? But yeah, no one else could do it. And it's like, then you have the dishonest criminal media but he still paid off Stormy Daniels $130,000. And what about Michael Cohen? And, you know, I just had on Ron Kessler yesterday. He wrote a book about Trump. And it's the first pro-Trump book written.
Yeah, he's been on my show.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like a whole different side to Trump than is ever portrayed in the media. And you just wonder. So, hey, going back, the economy being great, all that. What's it mean for real estate? What are you seeing? You're on the ground. You're boots on the ground in the real estate market.
Yeah, I got all a lot over. To share. I mean, inventory is still extremely tight. The builders have not been even coming close, not even a smidgen of being close to keeping up with demand. When we were helping people invest nationwide back in 2004 and 2005, a lot of our business was helping them buy brand new single family homes from big builders, big national builders in different parts of the country, in different markets that we would analyze and recommend. And our business was pretty much exclusively brand new brand new single family homes. And now on this side of the cycle, for the past several years coming out of the Great Recession, it's all been resales pretty much. There's hardly any new inventory in the lower price ranges where it makes sense to use them as income properties, as long-term buy and hold rental properties, which, as you know, I believe is the most historically proven asset class in the entire world. It's the most tax favored asset class in America. And inventory is very, very tight. People are making decisions quickly because the deals are still so good compared to anything else you can get.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Crowding out.
So that, you know, it's an amazing time to be an investor. And yes, prices have definitely gone up. But again, we're not looking, Carrie, at those crazy cyclical markets. As most of your listeners know, because I've talked about this before on your show, but there are three basic types of markets around the entire world: linear markets, cyclical markets, and hybrid markets. The cyclical markets get all the news. There are places like the West Coast, LA, San Francisco, Seattle, San Diego,
the
expensive northeastern markets, New York, Washington, D.C., Boston, you know, all these expensive markets, South Florida, Miami, right? Paris, London, Dubai, Hong Kong. These are the high flyers. They're the ones in the news that everybody talks about, but they're not the best places to invest. These places are too frothy. I think those are scary, and I think they are fundamentally very overvalued. And even if they weren't overvalued, Carrie, they never make sense from a cash flow perspective. And real investors, good investors, they invest for yield. They invest for cash flow because that's pretty reliable. Speculative things like, will my cryptocurrency go up in price, or my gold or my silver go up in price, or my non-dividend paying stocks go up in price?
Yeah.
There's only one play there. The play is buy low, sell high. Income property is multidimensional. There are many ways you can make profit from it.
So five ways.
Just be in the linear markets, the nice conservative linear markets. That's where we like to spend our time.
And I've got a personal question for you about that. The listener Jan asked me this: your feelings about Texas now. You were soured on you were soured on Houston, on that submarket, for a while after the oil bust, but all that seems to be gone now, right?
Yeah, well, I think pretty much all of the Texas markets are quite good, with one caveat. They've all gotten kind of expensive. And, you know, as you know, the one sort of big flaw about Texas that makes it difficult is the high property taxes. But most of that is really passed through to the tenants anyway. Right. But the problem is, I mean, we've sold many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of properties in the major Texas markets. But we don't really do much there anymore because the prices have gone up so much. So we're a lot busier nowadays. We're still very busy in Memphis, Indianapolis, Little Rock, Arkansas. It's a small market, but it's a great market. There's just not much inventory there. You know, in the Quad Cities, Ohio markets, we're doing a lot of business. You know, these are all good, solid markets.
Salt of the earth.
That we're in.
Salt of the earth, right? Was
salt
that a fair
of the earth type markets?
Is that a
good
fair
way to
assessment?
Describe it. Yeah.
Because no matter what, and you know, Jason, we've been doing this together now 7 years.
Wow. It. Has it been that long, Gary? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, unlike many forecasters I've had on, you have been consistently right. Now, forget about your view of the world or anything else. You're an expert on real estate. Nobody can take that away from you. And you've been 150% correct. It's yielded outsized returns over the past 7 years. And of course, you know, with any investment comes risk and potential for headaches. But at least you buy an income property, you still got a piece of dirt, even if they burn the place down. And if they burn the place down, you're insured anyway. Right. So, so your risks are so much less. And, you know, I've done the best in real estate over the past 7 years myself. And I don't think anybody can deny that. So interest rates heading up, got to be a factor.
Well, actually, now that you gave me all that, thank you for the compliment. But I will tell you about one thing I've been fabulously wrong about. I think I'm finally going to be right. Even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? As the saying goes. I have predicted higher interest rates for many, many years. Yeah. And I've just been largely wrong about that.
Oh, you were wrong.
So don't depend on me for interest rate predictions, but I have been right about pretty much everything else.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking, forget about interest rates, you know, like Einstein said, you know, the most complex subject in the universe is interest rates. But the fact is, about the market itself, the returns available, and what was going to happen there. Like, you never predicted a major reflation of the real estate boom, but that is, in fact, what happened. But it didn't matter with what you were doing. You got to cash in on it anyway. I mean, those houses I was telling you about in Lee County, Florida, they were selling for $40,000 to $65,000 at foreclosure during the height of the foreclosure epidemic. They're now selling at high 100,000 to low 200,000s, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just, and you could have made a nice return on it just following the Jason Hartman valuation system. And you would have cleaned up on it because your principal would be worth probably triple what you paid.
Right, right. And you know what? Even if that didn't happen, who cares? Because, you know, I mean, some of our other markets, like, for example, Jacksonville, Florida, right? Mm-hmm. Or Jackson, Mississippi, right? Those are two other markets we're in. And, you know, you're going to make anywhere between 20 and maybe 40% annually when you count all of the multidimensional returns on investment. You know, if everything goes reasonably well, we do have, you know, there's a few bad luck stories out there, no question, of things that have just happened that haven't gone well. But, you know, the question is, compared to what? See, when you are a direct investor and you actually own the properties, you feel all the bumps in the road, you know, all of the problems that occur, you hear about them, you have to deal with them yourself, you have to make a couple decisions on them. But compared to what, right? If you're investing in a stock or some pooled money asset, those bumps are still happening. You know, there's still the company you own stock in getting sued for, you know, a labor problem or a sexual harassment problem or a trademark or a patent infringement case or, you know, whatever the heck they're up to, right? Or there's the executives and the boards of directors skimming all the profits off the top.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of bumps. You just don't notice them. You don't hear about them unless they're major. Then, you know, they'll be in the news if they're a major company. But you know, that's the difference. And being a direct investor in good quality income properties, if one can just learn to control and moderate their emotional fluctuations, you know, the game belongs to those who stay the course. And it just works. I mean, it just works. Everybody listening, if the story isn't about you yourself, everybody listening knows someone who got rich in real estate with buying good quality income properties and just holding on to them over time, right? Yet probably nobody listening, maybe there's one or two random stories out there, knows anybody who got rich in the stock market, right? It's not an insider. Right?
Well, I will tell you, I told you the story about my sister, God rest her soul. She bought 100 shares of Apple for $8 a share. And this was probably 15, 20 years ago and never sold.
There's the one story.
2016 is worth, you know, over $500,000 now. But I don't know many other. Yeah, I do know people. But it's, look, for average Joe without the proper background and the understanding, look, I consider myself to be fairly sophisticated, really hard for me to do it. So anybody listening to their broker or whatever, it's going to be even more difficult. And, you know, look, you're absolutely right. So as far as we were going to talk about self-management, because you seem to be leaning more and more towards self-management. Definitely. But if you're in, if you're in New York and you own five properties in Columbus, Ohio, you know, that's like 600-700 miles away. You don't want to be hopping in a plane every other week to go manage them.
No, what we do is we teach people how to self-manage properties nationwide from a distance. And I never thought this would be possible myself until it happened to me by accident about 10 years ago. And it's great. I mean, you really can do it. There are so many great tools out there nowadays that allow the investor to have greater control than ever. And one of the key concepts, Carrie, you'll remember back to the first .com boom back in 1999-ish, you know, we heard this word a lot that you didn't hear much before. And the word is disintermediation.
Yeah.
Disintermediation. And I'd say, with as many things as reasonably possible in life, and especially with investments, you want to reduce the number of intermediary parties. Because remember, every middleman takes their cut along the way, right? So you want to be as direct as possible. And this is why we help people be direct investors. And then after they become a direct investor, where they own and control the properties, there's only one intermediary party that can really pad their fees or charge extra or, you know, rip them off a little bit. And that's the property manager. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is the one sort of last vestige of problem areas in our business. And so, you know, we have many good property managers in our network and they're fine. But if you have a mediocre or a bad property manager, we teach you how to deal with them, how to get rid of them, how to self-manage your properties and use my hybrid approach that I talk about a lot on my podcast. And we also teach you how to get even with that property manager that's the scoundrel, the scumbag.
Don't get mad, get even, right?
Yeah, that's the saying from Animal House, right? The old movie.
Or as somebody I once knew said, I don't get ulcers, I give them.
That's good. I like it. Yeah. Good stuff.
So, you know, so it's always better, but are there situations where you really can't self-manage?
No, not really. I mean, you know, what we recommend mostly, Carrie, and I know our time's kind of limited, so there's more to this. Just listen to my podcast, The Creating Wealth Show. We go into this in detail, and I know a lot of your people are clients of ours, Carrie, and a lot of them listen to my show as well. And it's the only two podcasts you ever need, folks. Financial Survival Network and The Creating Wealth Show. Yeah, Carrie's show and my show.
If you need, and, if you feel you need a podcast.
that's right. And so, you know, self-management, what we recommend is a hybrid approach where you're obtaining unbundled services or a la carte services from real estate agents and property managers, and then you're doing the rest yourself, which oddly, it's kind of counterintuitive. Oddly, it can be easier to do it yourself. When you take that middleman out of the equation, things actually get easier in many ways.
Let me ask you.
Because you have an alignment of interest. You don't have this conflict of interest anymore.
So specific question, though. When it comes to getting tenants to rent your property, doing it yourself, do you think that's a good idea?
Well, you can do it partially yourself, okay? So you have an on-the-ground agent or property manager offering unbundled or a la carte services just during your transition time between tenants. And hopefully, by self-managing your properties, you're going to have your tenants stay a lot longer. And there's a whole bunch of stuff to that we don't have time for right now, okay? But just just listen to my show and you can hear more about it there. Okay.
All right.
Or come to one of our live events. Like, we'll be in Philadelphia on May 19th. Okay. And I will talk about this in detail. We've got a 1-day conference there in Philadelphia, May 19th. And then I'm having personal meetings where I will do a portfolio review and a portfolio makeover of any investment you've got. And I will show you on a spreadsheet, just beautifully. It'll just come to you. You'll see it. How you can do better with income properties than whatever you've got. I don't care what you have. Just, you know, tell me about your stocks, your gold, your business, your cryptocurrencies, anything you got, just bring it on in. I mean, don't actually bring it. Okay. but bring the knowledge of it. We'll put it on a spreadsheet and I'll show you the comparison. And I'll be doing that Sunday morning after our Saturday event.
Can't wait.
Okay. So personal meeting with me if you want to do a portfolio review and a portfolio makeover. And so on the self-management, we teach people how to handle that transition and how to make it far more effective and less expensive. Folks, the technology and the services are out there nowadays. You know, to quote Thomas Friedman, and I know a lot of people differ with him in many things, but the world is flat. Okay. The world is flat. He's right about that in a lot of ways. Okay. And it is easy to do this stuff from a distance nowadays.
Yeah. It's great.
It's just Internet. A different world. The old rules don't apply anymore.
So true. Hey, well, one person who definitely agrees with Thomas Sowell is our good friend Kanye West. Seems to be.
Well, that was Thomas Friedman. Kanye is the newest Trump supporter. Isn't that the funniest thing?
He is red pilling the entire, half of the country.
Hollywood.
They're freaking out. You know, I mean, hey, it's like you and I, we're free thinkers. If you want to think something that I don't agree with, more power to you. It doesn't affect me in the least. But with the left,
not on a college campus or in Hollywood.
Oh my God! I need a safe zone. I've come to the conclusion this show is my safe zone.
Oh God!
And but that's what we're up against anyway. Check out Jason's shows. You will find them all at HartmanMedia.com. His main money site is JasonHartman.com. Any questions or comments, don't hesitate to email us, KL@CarrieLutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. For now, and we'll see how long it lasts, the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Jason, it's great reconnecting with you. Talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks so much, Carrie. And just let me give out the link for that event in Philadelphia coming up. It's jasonhartman.com/events, or just jasonhartman.com. Click on the events section there and you can register for that and join us in Philadelphia.
All right. You got it. Take care, Jason.
Thanks, Carrie. Happy investing.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.